for our VCC statement.
This is the meeting of May 8th, 2024 of the Veterans Affairs Committee is now called to order. The Veterans Affairs Committee meeting has now commenced. As voted on by the committee, this meeting is being held virtually on Microsoft Teams. As we continue our efforts in meeting virtually, we ask that all commissioners and guests to mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number to unmute yourself, dial *6. Prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. Please advise the chat function has been disabled and is not available for use. Also, to comply with the state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio. Martin Belden?
Here.
William Burks? William Burks? Terry Byron?
Present.
Cassie Diaz? Cassie Diaz? Bruce Hayes?
Present and or accounted for.
Ann Hollis?
Present.
Henry Johnson?
Present.
Rosie?
Present.
James Lewis Tooby?
And present.
Velvet Morgan?
Present.
Lorraine Obregon? Lorraine Obregon? Marlon Ruiz? Marlon Ruiz? Tom Tunks?
Present.
Alicia Fuller.
Here.
Looks like we have 10 today.
Wonderful. So let's go ahead and get this started. Henry, if you could please, our invocation.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we gather again to go over the Veterans Affairs for the City of Tucson. Guide us through this. Allow us to listen to all sides of each comment. In thy heavenly name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. So, thank you so much for that, Henry. Introduction of our guests. So, real quickly, I'll just go over what guest speakers we have today. And, of course, our regular, Jennifer Kotelski, I believe, or a representative from the Southern Arizona VA, possibly even Matt Langseth from the City of Tucson, the Veterans Coordinator. New addition to our committee reports and guest that's here tonight, Margo Sisco, representing Tucson PD. And also we have Scott Abrams from Boulder Crest, and he will be speaking about what Boulder Crest does for our military and veteran community. All right, so item 4. Of our legal action report. Do we have any questions or comments on that?
Martin Belden, I make a motion we accept the report.
Henry Johnson, second it.
I'll go to roll call. Martin Belden?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie?
Yes.
James Lewis Tooby?
Yes.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes.
Tom Tunks?
Yes.
Alicia Fuller?
Yes.
Passes 10-0.
Wonderful. Okay, so then on to 5, Treasurer's Report. Martin.
Okay, for March, I didn't fix that. Oh, well, it was the April report. I left March on it. Sorry, I'll fix it. 4-5, we got $500 in from Jim Click. We got $500 in from American Legion Auxiliary 132, and DAV 2 Auxiliary gave us $200, $100 for Exodus, $100 for chaplains. We spent $64.92 to renew our Costco membership for the to use on the lounge and the Operation Exodus. Any questions?
Henry Johnson, I make a motion we accept what has been read and what we have read online.
Second. Bruce Hayes.
Martin Belton.
Yes.
Terry Byron.
Yes.
Bruce Hayes.
Yes.
Ann Hollis.
Yes.
Henry Johnson.
Yes.
Rosie.
Yes.
James Lewis Tooby.
Yes.
Melvin Morgan.
Yes.
Tom Tunks.
Yes.
Alicia Fuller.
Yes.
Passes 10-0.
Okay, wonderful. So now item 6. We will begin. Do we have someone from the VA here? Oh, I see Jen's coming on.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Jenny Wasilewski. Jennifer, sorry she couldn't be here tonight. But I just wanted to take a minute to let you know everything that's going on. It's Nurses Week, so it's super busy at the VA, and hopefully you all follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And if you don't already, you should, because they're posting some awesome, awesome pictures and little stories about some of our nurses. And so they're really highlighting some of our special nurses this week. It's really exciting to see all of that coming up. And, you know, every year the foundation, the Nurses Week Foundation, the Tucson Nurses Week Foundation selects their top 50 fabulous nurses in Tucson and the area's top 5 LPNs. And this year from Southern Arizona VA, we have 13 of our nurses that are being honored out of those 50. And for the 5 top LPNs, we have 3 of the 5 that are from our VA. So that is super exciting. They have their awards gala on Saturday night, I believe. And it's usually at Lowe's, Ventana Canyon. So that's this Saturday. So we're super excited that so many of our nurses are being honored. We all know that they do a fabulous job. But that's coming up this week. We've been very, very, very busy. We had volunteer week. We had our patient experience week. We are now moving into a bunch of our staff celebrations this month. So it's been super busy. You got a copy, hopefully, of our director's report. We had a super fun event, the Adaptive Sports Clinic. We've done this before where we partner with Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports and they come out and they help show some of our veterans how they can still participate in sports using adaptive equipment. So they bring out the bikes, adaptive bikes. They bring out wheelchairs to play wheelchair basketball, pickleball and tennis were the sports that we were playing. I played basketball many, many, many years ago, right? But I try it in the wheelchair. It's hard. It is really, really, really hard. So kudos to them for coming out. It's a lot of fun. It's a fun event for everyone to participate in. We also had, and I'm hoping they post it soon on Facebook, we had one of our veterans was a Holocaust survivor. And recently we celebrated, not celebrated, but we had our Day of Remembrance for Holocaust survivors. And so one of our veterans came and told his story of living through the Holocaust. I believe he was 7 when this all started as a Jew living in Germany. So it was really moving story. So hopefully we're able to post some of that so you guys can see that. We got a couple exciting things going on. We started a new procedure that we're doing at our VA. It's called the Watchman device. It's an implant that we use. It's a small device that we put in the arteries to prevent blood clots from forming in one of the main arteries in the heart, and it helps patients who suffer from AFib, atrial fibrillation, and it helps to keep blood clots from forming so they don't have to be on blood thinners forever and ever. So if anyone here has AFib or knows someone that has AFib, typically you have to take blood thinners to make sure a clot doesn't go and create problems. So now we have this cool new procedure that's done just through a catheter, like in the cath lab. So they started doing that. They just did the first couple of those recently in the past couple weeks. So that's very exciting. And then we should be starting our other brand new procedure, hopefully next month. It's called TAVR is the shortened, but what it is it's using the catheter again in the cath lab to do a, valve replacement. So it used to be have to be done open heart. Now we can do it through a catheter. So no more open heart for some of the valve replacements. That's very exciting. So hopefully we'll be able to start that in the next month or so. We've got all the equipment. We got everything going. We just are waiting for the final blessing to be able to move forward with that. So that's super exciting. We got that going on. We've got our new mobile medical unit has arrived on campus. So if you drive down 6th Avenue, you're going to see it parked out there in the RV lot. This is for our homeless population. So it is a mobile medical unit that they're going to be able to take out to our homeless veterans and meet them where they are. So it's going to be for outreach, but it's also going to be for care, trying to get some care to our veterans who are homeless and maybe have a hard time coming in. So it's arrived on campus. They're just in process of getting it stocked up and getting everyone trained up on how to use it. So hopefully that'll be on the road here in the next couple of weeks. So that's super exciting to have that as well. And let's see what else. I mean, we've got lots going on. I think that's the big stuff. That's the big stuff. We got some construction hopefully starting soon, but I don't like talking about it until it actually starts to happen because you never know. So. But yeah, we've been working on an expansion in building 90. That is almost done. It'll be a few months. They're doing some of the interior work now, and then we'll have some expanded space for our mental health patients in building 90, expanded and renovated space within building 90. So that's probably the closest, to completion. Other projects coming up, expanding the ER, new bed tower for new inpatient beds. But all of that, you know, like I said, we'll talk about that as it gets closer. But hopefully some of that work will start this fall or winter. That's the exciting stuff. Anyone have any questions?
Hi, Henry. Jennifer. Henry Johnson. Hi. Hey, you know, I think we should mention that May the 21st is where you can actually begin to sign up for the National Creative Art Competition.
Oh, yes.
Because we did so well last year. There are a lot more veterans out there that should get involved. It's May the 21st between 2 and 4 at the auditorium.
Yep.
This just gives you the chance to sign up, and then somewhere around August, September, you have to submit your work. But spread the word because, I mean, why can't we take all the awards here in Tucson? So
we've done really well the past 2 years. We've taken home a lot of awards the past couple of years. So yeah, thank you for mentioning that. Yep. That's super exciting. Miranda is one of our recreational therapists, and she really drives that program for us. So there's all sorts of ways to enter, different art forms. Yeah. Thanks.
Jennifer, I have a question. Tom, yes. Tunks. I don't represent anybody by any means, but I have a whole bunch of Marines and a couple other veterans. And I don't know if this has anything to do with the hospital. I know the appeal status and all that stuff is separate from the hospital, but, and myself included, everybody's asking about the appeal status. Some of them have been on appeal for like 4 years. Myself personally, I've been on appeal for three. Do we see any kind of end of the storm here? Do we see any sunshine at the end here yet, or?
That's all VBA, Veteran Benefits, you know, our partners, but, I know they go through them as fast as they can. Tubby actually is pretty, right? Tubby, you're pretty, engaged with VBA and moving those through.
I want to say yes.
And if any construction needs to happen, it needs to be parking. Don't get me started, but anyways, that's all I have.
You know what? Don't get me started too.
I believe
We're actually making changes to the parking. Because there actually is plenty of parking on campus, and coming from some other VAs that I have come from, we actually do have plenty of parking. It's just not in convenient places for where people are. And so we're making some shifts to get employees to park in those areas that maybe are a little bit farther away, so all that parking up front is open for our veterans. So that actually is coming June 1st. So we've actually been working on that for a while. So hopefully it'll improve for you. And then Oh, I'm sorry, Bruce.
Employee walking program?
Yeah. Well, incentive for more steps in.
And our VA2K is coming up next week. I mean, VA2K to get out and walk. It's next Wednesday. But, you know, we have the tram on campus, too. And so my last VA, I came from Chicago, you know, in January when I had to park, you know, almost 3/4 of a mile away. There's no tram. There's no golf cart to pick me up in 3 inches of snow and drive me across. So it's really nice that we have the golf carts too running around and be able to bring people around campus too. That's really a nice little perk to have.
I understand you, Tom, because I know in the summer we're fighting for those covered spots. I mean,
covered spots. Yeah. The coveted covered spots. Yes.
Oh yeah. I mean, y'all have a lot of handicaps parking, and trust me, you know, we got a lot of vets, though, so thank you for that. Thank you for that. Any other questions? Awesome. All right.
So I have a question. This is Lorraine Obregon, and I apologize to everyone for being late.
Oh, you're on.
Work and traffic and everything. So I have a question because of the fact that I'm really involved in that Disabled American Veterans. When you talked about being on hold for 3 or 4 years, you're talking about claims, right? Benefits?
Yeah, with VBA.
And I'm trying to look here for the HR that we're working on this year is trying to, I don't want to say dilute, that's not the right word, but we're trying to get abreast of it because there are a lot of claims. That and the you're on hold, there's another bill for you're on hold because usually a lot of vets end up waiting for long periods of time on the telephone. So we are trying to work through that. I'm just kind of giving an update. I think we were shy of a few more votes. So I did reach out to the senators and write letters to them to see what is going on, what's holding it up. And let's get together as a nation and let's get this through because nobody should be waiting. As far as claims go, because there are some disability claims that are going way back. But I just kind of wanted to bring that up so that I don't have the numbers. I'm looking for the numbers right here, but I should just bring my logbook so I know which ones actually we're really working on pushing through. We're getting a little closer to pushing those through. Just kind of want to let you know what's going on. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thanks, Emily.
This is Tubby Lewis. Mr. Tunks, if you don't mind, I'll speak with you about that. That's the AMA, the Appeals Modernization Act. So each appeal is going to be different. You know, then you have supplemental claims, you have higher level reviews, and then you go to the BVA. So there's different types of claims. And, I'll speak during that my time. I'll brief about that a little bit. And I'll speak with you offline if you don't mind.
If you want, you can just email me your phone number. After the fact, I should be on the email list. Just throw me your phone number and I'll give you a call directly. We'll talk.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thanks. Awesome. Thanks, Tubby. I know Tubby does a lot of work with our vets and the claims, so thank you.
Well, thank you all.
Any other comments or questions for the VA? Okay.
Awesome. Bruce, thank you. I just wanted to.
Oh, go ahead.
I just wanted to let everybody know that I will be available one day a week at the VA to process claims.
And we'll all, y'all have his email and number. Beware. I don't know if you want to put 13? It out there.
Quarters 13.
Building 13.
We got room for more if you guys know any other VSOs that want to come in and help. We got room for more over in quarters 13.
This is Terry Byron. That's really good news. The VBA 106 has a great service officer. Maybe he'll want to move back.
Good to know. All right, you guys. So now on to item 6B, Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. Tubby, Ann?
All I have for that would be that there were, let me go back over here. I actually misspoke. I don't have anything for the cemeteries. I didn't get that information from them. We have been doing our strategic planning, so I did not get that information from Marana or Sierra Vista.
Okay. Any updates, Sam, from your side?
Yes. The foundation that supports it is doing a golf tournament. I still don't have a flyer for it. I haven't seen one. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the link to Amari, so that he could send it out to people if they want to sign up for the golf tournament. And all proceeds go to beautification of the cemetery. There will be a Memorial Day service at the cemetery on the 27th. And I believe it's at, boy, what time was that? I don't know. It should
10 a.m. I can help with that one. 10 a.m.
I think that's pretty much it. They're catching up with all the backlog from the time frame that the columbarium were full before the new ones were built. So they're working on that, pressing hard. So they've been pretty busy.
Wonderful. Thank you for that update.
And also, Marana also had just over 100 interments last month.
With Maya? Wow. Okay, so now on to item 6C, ACDBS.
Well, I've missed all of you, so it's good to see you. We had our BBC Spring Conference last month. It was a success. Had some individuals come in from St. Paul, Minnesota, as well as the Phoenix Regional Office to conduct the training. We also had some of our in-house experts do that, so we had a great time with that. We submitted 786 claims as an agency. 284 of those claims were generated by the South. On the 20th of last month, we had the Tohono O'odham event that I had two counselors go support. We also had the Yuma Stand Down on that same day. Both of those were successful, and we look forward to assisting again. I'm currently trying to hire two new counselors, one in Tucson, one in Sierra Vista. Have hired a person in Benson, so we now have a counselor in Benson who is in training. I'd like to also plug in our Military Family Relief Fund. That's for those veterans who have financial hardships that may be related to a deployment. Check out our website if you're not familiar with it. All the eligibility requirements are there, or you can speak with me. And I'm trying to open up an itinerary site on the east side of town. We still will look at coming over there at the Savage Hicks, too. I guess I could put somebody at the Savage Hicks. And that's all I have. Does anybody have any questions for me?
You guess you could put someone over there, Tubby? Come on.
I'm guessing because I don't know how many people you have over there.
We don't have much over there. We've only got there people there a couple days a week for half days. So come on over. I could full time. Come on, Tubby.
look at you with a smile. So let me take a look at it. No, I'll take a look at it, honestly.
Darby.
What days do you have people in? Do you know?
I'd have to go back and look. I have to
go
back.
Can you call me tomorrow?
Yeah.
And let me know?
Either me or Kimmy will give you a call, Toby.
Okay.
Love it.
Bruce Hayes, I just wanted to let you know, Toby, that I'm going to try to be there all day on Tuesday.
Because we have a counselor down at the Keno Veteran Workforce Center on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So we'll have to get the Savage Hicks put in there. Okay. That's all I have. No one has anything for me before I go get something to drink?
I know. We got you working today, don't we? Well, thank you so much for that. I did have an update that I heard from AZDVS, hearing from the governor that, positions and stuff, but y'all haven't filled all your positions, so y'all don't have that problem that there's going to be any cuts to any positions, so to speak, right? Because you're under where y'all should be. So there won't be any, layoffs, so to speak, with our state workers. So that's good news, right? There's still some opening, so.
I'm just going to speak for my region. I'm looking for two new positions, one in Tucson and one in Sierra Vista.
There we go. Good problem to have there. Wonderful. Any other questions? Okay. All right. Thank you again, Debbie. All right.
You're welcome.
So 6E, Margo from Tucson Police Department.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for having me. I want to thank Terry for recommending me for the committee, and Rosie, I appreciate, after finding out I'm a City of Tucson employee, for you sort of going to bat for me so I could be involved on some level. I wear a couple of hats in this, and I really wanted to get involved to keep the lines of communication open, find out more about the VAC, be able to share events and resources. So, hi, everyone. I'm Margo Susco. I'm the Community Engagement Coordinator for the Tucson Police Department. Quick shout out to Boulder Crest. I've worked for the police department about 6.5 years downtown. I started volunteering with World War II and Korean War veterans at the Pima Air Museum in 1983. Sort of been my life's work. So, besides Community Engagement Coordinator, I also work with World War II and Korean War veterans. So I don't have a lot today in terms of the Tucson Police Department, but one of the things I know that the City of Tucson is working to really bring all of the veterans together. But one of the first things I noticed when I started working with the police department is we're not in the Veterans Day Parade and we're not representing and honoring our veterans. And we have over 400 veterans in the police department, and it's really been bothering me. So one of the first things we're going to do is be in the Veterans Day Parade. And so I want to keep up on what you all are doing, anything I can bring to the veterans, and join with the city who's bringing the veterans together to make sure that, again, we're acknowledging, we're giving resources, but acknowledging and honoring the veterans of the police department. So I don't have a report right now, but I'll be taking a lot of this information back, and I really want to thank you for that. My other hat, so I took a group of Korean War veterans on. I'm an honor flight team lead. I took a group of Korean War veterans and World War II veterans back to D.C. in 2016. When I came back, they asked me to join the Korean War veterans group, which at that point was meeting at the VA hospital. 4.5 years ago, our commander, Wally Howard, passed away, and the guys asked me to take over for them. You all know you work with veterans. So with veterans organizations, once everyone starts getting up into their 90s, taking on the position of commander can be pretty challenging. So the guys asked me to take over. So I've been the commander of the Korean War Veterans Pima chapter for 4.5 years. We meet the first Wednesday of every month at Tucson PD downtown at headquarters. We have speakers, we do field trips. We have about 14 active Korean War veterans. We just brought in an additional 5. We have an honorary World War II. We have a few. I've sort of modified the bylaws, so we do have Vietnam veterans as well and some family members. There used to be 5 chapters of the Korean War veterans in Arizona. Now we're down to 3 chapters. We are the only chapter south of Phoenix area, but we are very active. Again, if any of you are ever interested in joining our group, but again, the importance for me for getting in front of all of you is to, A, maybe you can help me promote if you know any veterans who would like to join our group. We're always involved with different events, and I want to thank Terry. I know Tucson's a small, big town, right? So you see all the same people at all the different events. I see Rosie, I see Terry. Terry's always wonderful about keeping our group involved. It's really important to me to keep my veterans active, to keep their pride in service. It's a 24/7, 7-day-a-week job, especially for our elderly veterans who don't have family members still with them. So any events, anything I can get them involved in would be wonderful. Any of you, if you're interested in joining our meeting, you are welcome. You are welcome too. And also just personally, I'm involved in a lot of different events and I work quite a bit with the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. And I'd like to be able to share events with you. I reached out to Terry and thank you, Terry. We recently held an event at the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery for one of our founding members, Paul Marsh. Paul Marsh is the founder of the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery. He came up with the idea in 2006. I think it was 2016 they broke ground. And yeah, I think there are over 4,400 veterans out there. Paul Marsh's health is not good. And about a month ago, he mentioned to his daughter that he wanted to go out to the cemetery one last time before he passes. And so in a week, with the help of community and veterans organizations, the Arizona Veterans Memorial Cemetery, we got together and we threw him a shindig worthy of Mr. Paul Marsh out at the cemetery. And he was able to go out. He was completely surprised. And the veterans organizations and community came out to honor this fine and noble man. And so, again, just being able to connect up with you, hear what you're doing, see how I can be of service to all of you is why I'm here. I want to thank you all for your work. I'm looking to see if I have any. Yeah, and I've noticed even lately, I've seen some additional opportunities or actually additional benefits for World War II. So again, my world is sort of World War II, Korea, Vietnam. So keep me in mind. And thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Henry Johnson.
Margo, Tom Tunks. Margo, do you know Susan Key?
Yes, I know Susan Key. Okay. Absolutely. We work very closely with her. In fact, June 15th is an event up in Phoenix from the Arizona Korean Association. So I think we might take some veterans up there to be honored. And then we also work with some of the Korean War veterans in the Navajo Nation. So we'll be meeting them up there. And Susan Key. Susan Key's pretty awesome. She devotes her life.
She's a very good friend of mine. I was just going to say you need to get a hold of her, but you know her, and that's perfect. So, awesome.
Henry Johnson, I have a question for you, Margo.
Yes, sir.
If I say blue envelope dealing with the police department, am I correct in this saying when it's dealing with mental patients on the road? Or autism, or you know what I'm talking about?
I somewhat know what you're talking about, but I'm not enough to really be able to give you good information. But I'll bring it back to you.
Would you mind?
I'm sorry.
Would you mind preparing something so when we come back in the fall that we can get a heads up on this and so on? Because I think it might kind of lean over into some of the veterans and some of our problems too. And if we're starting in one area, maybe we can flip in the other one too. But it's something that effective communications of officers and veterans. So,
and I will get more information, because what I know I've parted with the Blue Envelope program is some of our community members, even with autism and around mental health issues and so forth. So, yes, absolutely. I will be able to bring more information around that back to you. But in the meantime, I can put my information in the chat, or you all know I'm probably on an email somewhere. If anybody has any questions about TPD, anybody has any questions about the Korean War Veterans Pima chapter, I'm happy to correspond with you offline.
This is Terry. Welcome, Margo. I know you'll bring some really good information to us, and that's the whole point, is to network with all of us and share information through the clerk's office, Amari. Then she'll send it all out to us, and vice versa. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Terry.
Wonderful. Any more questions for Margo? All right. Margo, thank you, and welcome to our committee reports. Very excited.
Thank you for having me.
So now on to 6F. We have Scott Abrams here to speak about Boulder Crest, one of our resources in our community. It's all yours. You're on mute. That's all right. We're all vets. We do 214 at 2. We're like,
If it shoots, you can make it work, but if it's a computer, you can't.
It's all about the tinnitus.
You should just be able to click the microphone and it will take it off mute.
But tinnitus is ringing in your ears.
No pressure, no pressure at all. Right? It's like,
Well, it's not just
we've
ringing.
All been it's, there.
It's not just ringing. It's humming, buzzing, ringing, chirping, swooshing. No, because when you talk to veterans, if you say ringing, they may not have ringing. So now you've done them a disservice when they go in, because
Amari,
it may be something with his settings.
You know, I think a lot of vets have been kind of a little bit preempted, or should be or were educating the community, because they're all saying, if you say tinnitus, you'll get disability. They're like, no, that's not how it works.
Right.
How about now?
Yay!
There we go.
Yeah, I'm trying to unclick the microphone on my computer, and it tells me that it's open access to my computer or my microphone, but it won't actually turn on. So my microphone is on my phone. My video is on my computer, but somehow it's working. So we're just going to run with it and not try to screw anything up. So thank you so much for the invitation. You know, it's always is interesting whenever you don't really get a chance to test out the system and see if it works and see if all the bugs are worked out. So now we've got it worked out. So, again, thanks for letting me come in. My name is Scott Abram. I'm the executive director of the Boulder Crest Foundation ranch down here in Sonoda, Arizona. So I just wanted to take a few minutes and give you a little bit about Boulder Crest and what we do and what some of our programs are, just because I would be willing to guess that there's probably a number of you on here that, even though we are located, you know, half hour south or so of Tucson, there's probably a lot of folks that haven't heard of Boulder Crest. And I would bet there's even more that probably haven't heard of what we call post-traumatic growth, which is really what we're all about. So Rosie gave me about 10 minutes, and she knows I spent about an hour with a bunch of her veterans from Raytheon the other day. So this is going to be a high-level overview, and then if you have questions or want more information, we'll be happy to follow up in any way that we can help you understand it a little bit better. So Boulder Crest has been around for a little over a decade now. It was founded out in Virginia, in Loudoun County, just west of the Capitol. And really, it was founded as a way to help find some alternative ways to try to help veterans
and first responders that were dealing with some of those invisible wounds. We had a lot of support for veterans that had amputations and, you know, traumatic injuries and that sort. But we were finding that a lot of the invisible wounds, the PTSD, the depression, the anxiety, and those types of things, really the treatments for those were hit or miss. And a lot of the traditional treatments that were working or were being attempted weren't really all that effective. And it really wasn't being effective at reducing the number of suicides that we were seeing in the veteran population. You know, it's been, you've all heard the statistic, 22 a day. It's been 22 a day for years. So a lot of those traditional treatments haven't really moved the needle on what we were doing and having any effect. So I'll be honest with you. I am a product of some of those traditional mental health treatments. I was diagnosed with depression in 2007 after I came back from Iraq. I was commanding a company in Iraq at the time and, you know, experienced loss, had some survivor guilt, had a lot of other things that were going on. And after I was diagnosed, I went through a lot of those traditional treatments. I went through a lot of counseling, went through some therapy sessions. I was on meds for a while, and I had kind of eventually reached a point where I had, for lack of a better term, plateaued in how much better I was getting or how much less bad I was getting. And really, I came to believe that this is what life was going to be like. I just needed to accept that I was going to live the remainder of my life in this somewhat diminished state, because that's all the better that I was ever going to be able to be. And that's the belief of a lot of our veterans and first responders who have dealt with a lot of this trauma. And they've tried what they think is out there, what they know to be out there, and they've just reached that point where I've gotten as good as I'm going to get. I just need to accept this and understand that this is what my life now consists of. And at Boulder Crest, we don't believe that. We don't believe that people have to live that diminished life. They are not defined by their past. And so what we teach and what we train our veterans and first responders on is what we call post-traumatic growth. And post-traumatic growth is really all about, you know, to put it in a nutshell, it kind of paraphrases Nietzsche's quote of what doesn't kill you can make you wiser. And it can make you wiser in a lot of ways. It can make you wiser about what's important in life, what's meaningful to you in your life. It can teach you a lot of lessons that can help you grow as you progress beyond whatever that thing was, whatever that bad experience was. And really, from our perspective, you know, when we look at suicidality and that piece, you know, we believe the opposite of suicide is living a great life. And if we can help people live a great life, that will have an impact on whether they will stick around to see the end of that life and see it through to the end. So what we're trying to do is help them to understand that you can take these lessons from all of these traumas, whatever these experiences were that you went through, you can learn the lessons from those things, you can apply it to your life, and you can go out and be a much better human being on the backside of all those things. You can thrive after that trauma. And that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, a lot of you on this call look like you are old enough or seasoned enough to understand this reference, but, you know, I kind of share a characteristic with the president of the Hair Club for Men. Because not only am I the executive director of the ranch down here in Sonoyta, I am also a graduate of one of our programs. So I have seen firsthand exactly how this works and exactly what it's done for my life. And you know, it would be interesting if you had the chance to talk to my wife and you spoke to her about what I was like before I went through this program and what my attitude was, what my outlook on life was at that time versus what it's like now, because it has changed drastically. It really has changed my life for the better, and it has put me in a much better place where I am able to do a lot more with my life and do something that's much more meaningful because I have been through that. So what our focus is, you know, we really run programs that train veterans and first responders how to do this. And it's based on the science of post-traumatic growth. And post-traumatic growth is a term that was coined back in 1995 by two psychologists at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. And what they were doing when they kind of discovered this or really put it together is they were studying, you know, how can we treat families who have suffered loss better? How can we treat them more effectively? How can we give them better skills to cope with these types of loss? So, for example, parents who have lost children. You know, that's a pretty devastating loss for those folks. So we're trying to figure out how do we help them get through that. And as they studied these folks, what they were finding was that there were a whole bunch of them who had actually taken this loss, and after they had processed it, they turned it into something that was positive and productive. So a great example that they like to use is you had a mother who had lost her son to cancer. And one of the things that he loved to do was to play baseball. That was his life. He loved baseball more than anything. And so she took his passion and turned it into a foundation where she raises money and she goes around and she now helps communities that don't have baseball fields and don't have baseball teams for the kids to be able to build a field, buy uniforms, buy equipment, and allow other kids to play baseball. Now, obviously, she wouldn't trade all of that. You know, she'd give it up in a heartbeat to have her son back. But she took that loss and she really turned it into something that was positive and productive. And the other group that they really looked at and found some really unique things about was POWs from Vietnam. So there were 591 service members who were held captive for some length of time during the Vietnam War. And if you take a look at the entire population of service members that served in the Vietnam War, when they came home, 30% of them were diagnosed with PTSD. Out of the 591 POWs that came home, and by the way, these were folks that psychologists and psychiatrists had already prepped their families that you better be prepared to institutionalize these folks. They are going to come back and they are going to be basket cases. They are not going to transition back to normal life very well. But what they found is when those folks came back, those 591 POWs, 4% had PTSD. And most of them went back and continued serving. Many of them retired as senior grade military officers. They have congressmen in their ranks. They have ambassadors in their ranks. They have folks who have done really great and wonderful things. And by every metric that they study, those 591 folks, the ones who are still alive to this day, are reporting higher life satisfaction metrics than everybody else who was in Vietnam. So they studied these folks to try to understand, how did this happen? How did those guys who went through some of the most traumatic and diabolical things that a human being can do to one another during their years in captivity, how did they come out of it stronger on the backside? And what they really found is, you know, just a few things. I'm going to highlight just a couple of things about how we train folks. Because what they found really is those 591 POWs, they had an environment that was built on trust and connection. The environment and the culture that they had amongst the group of POWs that they were with, they had been going through the same thing, so there was an environment of trust and connection that was there. And that's important because, you know, science has proven that each of us is the average of the 3 to 5 people that we spend the most amount of time with. So if you're hanging around really good people, odds are you're going to be a pretty good person. If you're hanging around with really toxic people who drag you down to their level, they will. And so that environment of trust and connection is important to be able to grow on the aftermath of something bad that's happening. The next piece is education. Yeah.
Scott, we appreciate all the data and stuff and learning about Boulder Crest. And the facility down there is gorgeous because you actually had the Scottish American Military Society do a color guard for a gathering of Marines. So I guess my question is, with all this data and stuff, how are you implementing it for the veterans at your ranch?
Yeah, absolutely. I can definitely talk about that. So the program that we run specifically at the ranch is called Warrior Path, and that's PATH with two H's. It's Progressive and Alternative Training for Healing Heroes. And it is a 7-day on-site initiation phase for veterans. They come to the ranch, and they go through the 7-day period where they are really learning about post-traumatic growth. We are training them on post-traumatic growth. And we do tell them very clearly it's training, not therapy. Because, you know, a lot of veterans don't react well to the term therapy, but they do respond well to training because they're used to that. So they come in and we train them on this post-traumatic growth concept. And when they leave at the end of that 7 days, they have been armed with a lot of this knowledge. They've been armed with some wellness practices that they can take back and apply in their lives. They have a cohort of folks that they have been through this experience with that are helping to hold them accountable that they can reach out to and go to for support. And then they also have a 90-day period after they graduate the program where there is consistent content that they are going through to help them continue on their journey. And the goal is that even after that 90 days of curriculum is done, they are still active in our application where they are able to share things that they are learning with others. They are able to reach out to others and continue that journey together. And at that point, they are also far enough along their journey where they are now able to see the impact of this and then be able to reach back and help others and help those around them who might need this knowledge as well and continue to help them grow. So that's primarily what we do at the ranch.
You also have a teen retreat, right, for our teens?
Yeah, and so just real quick, I'll cover just a couple of the other programs we run. One that Tucson Police Department is very familiar with is one called Struggle Well. That is more focused on helping military units and first responder organizations establish a culture that is supportive of post-traumatic growth amongst the members. They are much more peer support and are able to turn to each other as a support network as they are going through these traumatic events. Because, you know, one of the things we believe, you know, TPD is a great example of this, is one of our great partners who's really taken this and run with it, is that if our police are well, they will police well because they are healthier. They are able to handle the stresses and strains of that job much more effectively, so they don't take all of that home with them and take it out on their family, take it out on their kids, take it out on their community members when they are out policing. And so they're just able to help deal with that better, and they have a support network around them within the organization that is helping them to deal with these things. So that's the Struggle Well program, and it's more focused on organizations. And then we also have a family R&R component. So if we are not running one of the programs on the ranch, we open up some of our facilities down there for families, military families, Gold Star families, to come down and spend some time just reconnecting. So if they've been on a deployment, it's a great time to come down and just get away, disconnect for a while, and spend time with the family in, you know, what you know is a very beautiful place down there. And they can have that time together to rebuild that bond, that connection that they have within their family. And by the way, I just want to highlight, you know, all of this is free of charge. So all of our programs are funded by donors. So it is no cost to the participants for any of those Warrior Path participants, any of our family R&R folks. All they've got to do is get themselves to the ranch, and everything else is provided for them while they're there. And then the last one that Rosie just talked about is we do one military teen retreat a year. It's coming up in June, where we bring in 8 military teens to be able to spend a long weekend at the ranch with other kids who are going through similar experiences that they are of being a military kid. And they have that opportunity to, we teach them a little bit about post-traumatic growth. We teach them a little bit about some wellness practices that they can apply in their lives as they're going through some of the stresses that military kids go through. You know, that one means a lot to me because I have a 22-year-old military kid at this point, and I really wish that she'd had something like this along those lines when I was still active duty and would have learned some of those things that could have helped her just handle a lot of that stress that she was going through, through deployments and through those types of things. So those are really the 4 major programs that we run, and what we do down at the ranch.
Wonderful. Do we have any questions? Comments? So Scott, if y'all have any events coming up, you know, share them with us, especially when you get that information for the teen retreat. Really great, you know, to share with our population and everything and those R&R availability, because there's a website, right? On your website, yep. You can go and sign up for and look at the availability. What's open right now on your calendars or what? How far?
So for R&R, we open up 4 months out. So on the last day of every month, we open up the availability for 4 months out for R&R. The military teen retreat was just opened up earlier this week. So all those come out primarily on Facebook is where we announce a lot of those. And then there's also directly on our website at bouldercrest.org. There's links to all of those different programs. One thing I would like to highlight just for the group's knowledge is next month we actually have Post-Traumatic Growth Day. So last year in 2023 is the first year that Congress proclaimed June 13th as PTG Day. And it's also being proclaimed again this year. So June 13th is now a day where we can actually really focus on spreading awareness of post-traumatic growth to as large a population as we possibly can. Because, you know, the dirty little secret of life is struggle is not limited to veterans and first responders and military personnel. Everybody struggles. Every human being, as you go through this life, is going to face some type of struggle. And post-traumatic growth is applicable to everybody. Everybody can learn about this. Everybody can apply some of these practices and learn how to regulate their emotional state to be able to handle the stresses of life better. So that's one of our goals this year, is really trying to help spread that awareness here in Southern Arizona, so that we are hoping to get that word out to a larger population who can take this and use it to make themselves better in everything that they do.
Wonderful.
All right. And if you want to come to the ranch, it's a beautiful place. I would highly encourage you to just come down and visit, because it's a great place. I work in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I'm a lucky guy.
Lorraine, you have your hand up.
You're muted.
Oh, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. Thank you for the presentation, Lorraine Obregon, Junior Vice Chair, Gold Star Mother. I have a quick question. You put a lot of information, which is really good, but you didn't talk about the age group, because my concern is I work with a lot of veterans aging, and a lot of it PTSD that didn't get treated during Vietnam, return of Vietnam. And so we're talking about a population that is a large population, not just in Southern Arizona, but throughout the nation, and maybe perhaps in the world, in other, you know, like they may have moved out, living in Europe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But are you reaching them? Because what's happened is that left untreated, which I can see that for many decades, it's morphed into something dark now that's considered more behavioral. And so a lot of those, and they're struggling veterans. I work with them every day. What are you doing to market to them, and how are you getting the word out to them? And can you provide transportation? Because a lot of our seniors, veterans, Vietnam veterans, they can't drive themselves, you know, but they really need the service. Is there any way that, the other question is also, is there any way that you would visit a facility, or they have to actually go out to the ranch? That's all I need to ask. Thank you.
Yeah. So let me try to remember all those questions, and I'll try to answer all of them. So answer question one about our age groups. We do not delineate by age at all. If they are a veteran, they are struggling, they are eligible. So we actually have Vietnam veterans come through the program quite frequently. And it really is interesting, because we primarily run a cohort of eight. And so it's really interesting when we have some younger veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they have someone in their group that is a Vietnam veteran, it gives a really different perspective. And it really creates some very good conversation amongst those groups as they learn from each other. So we are definitely more than happy, if they need help and they're struggling, to get them in and bring them through the program. The other piece on the question about can we provide transportation, you know, if they are outside of driving distance, you know, we do fly folks in and bring them to the ranch. So we pick them up at the airport, bring them out. So, yeah, we do help with some transportation aspects there. And then the last piece was about can we visit? Yeah, we can go out, and I can send either myself or some of my folks out where we can go out and do some presentations and talk about this with different populations if there are folks who are interested in learning a little bit more.
Okay, when you talk about folks, you're talking about the providers, or you're talking about veterans? Because specifically, I think I need to probably reword my question. I was more concerned about the data, that is, what is the percentage of veterans that you're taking care of that are in the senior community? Meaning, I understand that you have a cohort and you have all this study, and you've been doing this for a while. Are you there? Hello?
Well, sorry.
Maybe not.
I had somebody banging on my door.
That's all right. So I really specifically wanted to know, because my interest in this is, what are we doing for Vietnam veterans, for the seniors? And then you made a comment that I just kind of want to clarify, because I was a little bit concerned about when Congress appointed June 13th. I thought we had June 13th for a specific celebration. So you're saying that that on that particular day, okay, I'm getting distracted by you getting up. Are you saying that Congress passed something that's saying, hey, we're going to celebrate this on June 13th?
Yes, so they have passed a proclamation that, so just like we do with, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, or May, or your PTSD awareness, June 13th is now being identified as PTG Awareness Day. So that is now something that, that is being recognized nationally and being put out there and publicized.
Okay, so again, the question, I don't mean to be trying to go back to this question, but how many really Vietnam veterans, like let's say you have eight, and out of eight, the majority of them are the younger generation, because my concern is that we have a deficiency in care for their Vietnam veterans. We still have a lot of them living. A lot of them are struggling. A lot of them are homeless. Yeah. A lot of them, I still cannot cope with how society has changed so rapidly. And then how, what are we doing to get that population in? And how many of those that you help are that population?
Yeah, I don't have specific data on exactly how many of those that we've served are in that particular generation of population. You know, just some general terms. You know, over the last 10 years, we have served over 100,000 folks through our programs. So I don't know what that breakdown though looks like between Iraq and Afghanistan veterans versus Vietnam veterans versus Cold War veterans in those specific demographic ages. So, you know, part of my job really is helping to spread that awareness, you know, especially, you know, my focus here is obviously Arizona and then in the broader Southwest. So, you know, we are doing, you know, outreach activities similar to this one where we are going out, we are speaking at, you know, we talked to a lot of the VA mental health providers and some of the folks in that community so that they can help us spread that word. So if they are seeing Vietnam veterans come through that are struggling, they know that we are here as a resource and can help direct them to us if they need some of the assistance that we can provide. So, you know, those are some of those pieces that we're doing and working with some of those veteran service organizations. We have a lot of partnerships with folks like Wounded Warrior Project and Gary Sinise Foundation and some of those organizations who also, when they identify veterans who are going to them for different types of assistance and they identify that they also need help with some PTSD, depression, anxiety, and those types of things, they can help steer them towards Boulder Crest as a resource that can help them with those particular things. So, you know, those are a lot of the different strategies that we are using to help get that word out and to reach as many of those different population groups as we possibly can. So, and always willing to take a lot of feedback and input. So if you have other avenues that might be effective in helping to reach those populations, more than happy to take that and see if we can tie that in somehow where we can go and meet with those groups or meet with those people who can help get that word out.
And we're always happy to help. And like Scott was saying earlier, I did have him come brief at Raytheon. Raytheon is actually one of the donors. We actually helped with a fundraiser. They did a golf tournament. Is that every year, right?
Yes.
Golf tournament. Yeah. So they have one year at La Paloma, a golf tournament every year. They just had one a couple weeks ago. So that'll be something that we share out and everything too. So, yeah. All right. Any other questions? Okay. Scott, thank you so much. I really appreciate all the data and information that you shared with us today. Always, always very helpful. And, of course, send me whatever you want me to send out to Amari, and Amari will get it out to the rest of our committee, any information you want to share. Okay.
Perfect. I will do that. Thank you.
Awesome. We do have a Facebook page. If you look at the Tucson Veteran Affairs Committee, we do have a Facebook page. It's open. You can post on there any events, and we will help share it out there. That way. Okay. All right. So that wraps up item six. So now item seven, Memorial for Vietnam Veterans. And that would be Butch and Terry.
Yes. We just had a meeting this last Saturday on that. And right now our granite, it will be put on the wall at the Veterans Memorial. And then being engraved and the frame to hold it is being worked on. And hopefully have all that stuff done and ready to completely dedicate it next year on March 29th. We do have a plaque put up with it, and it has four places for anybody donating $500 or more, as long as they don't have an umpteen thousand long name. We can put that on there for the donations, you know, $500 or more. And it's underway. It, all we got to do is get it engraved and with 107 names. And to go along with that, I'll go on with the 50th anniversary next year or commencement. It's this last Saturday, we put a partially program together on that, and I just mailed out 30-some veterans organization envelopes and mail with letter and everything, asking them to be part of our 50th commitments, as well as the park engraving. They all went out, and hopefully by the next couple of weeks, we hear back from them who wants to participate. We've set a date, September the 28th, as a meeting for all the veterans to get organizations to get together to plan a complete program for that luncheon on the 29th of March of next year. Any questions?
Thank you for that. So now item 8, the 50th anniversary of the Vietnam War. Again, which... Any updates on the Vietnam War, the 50th anniversary celebration?
And you just covered that.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure. Should we combine them or?
I combined both of them because we both had a meeting on both of them.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So now
I sent out letters to cover both the park and the 50th members, asking the veterans organizations to join us and help. We're looking at around about $11,500 to put the luncheon on, and $3,800 for the granite wall and everything.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Okay. So now item 9, the military lounge. Do we have Mignon here? I don't think. Terry, do you have any updates?
I do not, but I think while we're here, we can make a motion to purchase a pallet of water if requested from the
item.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tied together. I did reach out to Minot and to see what's going on, because I've reached out to her before and no response. So hopefully she's still at the airport. If not, we'll have to go. Or maybe Marty can reach out to somebody in warehouse and rattle some cages that way.
Okay.
But I'll make a motion that we purchase a pallet of water as requested from the military lounge / Tucson International Airport.
Okay.
For cost of how much is it approximately?
Approximately $200.
Okay. So we got a motion.
Tom Thompson.
I'll go ahead and do a roll call. Martin Belden?
Yes.
William Burks? You're on mute. William Burks, was that a yes?
Yes.
Harry Byron?
I heard Bill say yes. I say yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Ann Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie?
Yes.
James Lewis Toby?
Yes.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Tom Tongues?
Yes.
Alicia Fuller?
Yes.
Passes 12-0.
Thank you. All right, so social media presence, item 10. Just continue to use, don't forget to utilize that Facebook page to help promote any of your events that are happening, not just for us, but, you know, the groups that you're representing. Feel free to post on there and everything there, too. I think that's pretty much it for now. I don't see Cassie on. Okay. Item 11, outreach to the Mayor and Council. I didn't see Matt on with any updates or any of our representatives. Okay, so item 12, fundraising. I guess, Terry, just continue to reach out to you if we need any letters sent out requesting any donations. Besides that, anything else on fundraising? Ideas?
No. If you have a new person to reach out to, please let me know and we'll get a letter sent out. The financial report showed we received $1,200 so far. So I would just ask that you go back to your organizations, and even if it's $100, there's 15 of us here, that'd be $150. So, or $1,500. So let's, you know, little bit goes a long way.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Terry. Okay. So. Okay. Item 13, Veterans Day memorials, updates, comments.
This is Terry. Veterans Day parade is scheduled for November 11th on Monday. We'll start at 11 a.m. I will send out that information through Amari. We have a flyer and sponsorships are available. And again, that's another one of those a little bit goes a long way. If we get, you know, enough $100 donations, it would help cover the cost of the parade. So it costs approximately $10,000 to put the parade on. So we need the foundation. Tucson Veterans Day Parade Foundation needs money. And the theme this year is honoring Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Desert Calm veterans.
Any questions or comments? Okay, so a reminder, item 14, our summer break, we will be going dark after this meeting. And if you see at the bottom, then our next meeting will be September 11th. Is there anything happening? Should we change that date? I just don't want to interrupt with any events that may be going on for September 11th. Is September 11th a good day? Should we do it before, day after, in case that conflicts with any events?
Tom Tunks, I'm pretty sure everything's over by the time we would have a meeting. I know there's at least three things going on for September 11th, but I think they're all going to be over by like 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so it shouldn't interrupt our meeting.
Okay. Anybody else that may have conflicts?
No, other than I think we should observe that day. I mean, there's always a moment of silence, but that was a lot of lives lost. I don't know how everyone feels about that. It's just not another day. People lost their lives. I just feel like either we do it the day before or the day after out of respect.
Okay, so we have a motion, I'm guessing, right? To do it, let's see, would y'all rather do it the day before? Kind of like what we did with Valentine's Day, the day before. All right.
So, this is Terry. I would recommend we do the day after, the 12th. I know there's a couple people that have a conflict for the second Tuesday every month. So if we could do it on September 12th.
Okay. So we have a motion for September 12th.
Point of order, I think we need a second yet.
Martin Belden, I'll second for the September 12th.
Okay. All right, roll call.
Martin Belden?
Yes.
William Burks?
Yes.
Terry Byron?
Yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Ben Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Nay.
Rosie?
Yes.
James Lewis Tooby?
Nay.
Was that a yes or a
no? No.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Tom Tunks?
Yes.
Alicia Fuller?
Yes.
Passes 10-0. Or 10-2, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, so that'll be updated on our next one there. So September 12th it is. Okay, we already hit up item 15. So now on to item 16, appointments of Marshall and recommended by the American Legion. Do we have any comments or concerns?
Do we need a motion to accept her nomination?
Ms. Bush Morgan, I make a motion to accept it.
Henry Johnson seconds it.
All right, roll call.
Martin Belden?
Yes.
William Burks?
Yes.
Harry Byron?
Yes.
Bruce Hayes?
Yes.
Ben Hollis?
Yes.
Henry Johnson?
Yes.
Rosie?
Yes.
James Lewis Tooby?
Yes.
Melvin Morgan?
Yes.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes.
Tom Tunks?
Yes.
Alicia Fuller?
Yes.
Passes 12-0.
Okay. So the next two items, I was hoping as we go through roll call to go for the good of the order, do y'all mind if we combine 17 and 18, and as we're doing it for the good of the order, bring up any future agenda items at the same time, just to save time? Is that good? Okay. All right. So we'll combine 17 and 18 as we go down. So roll call, and as we go down, let us know what you have. Amari?
Sorry, I'm belted.
Nothing.
William Burks? Terry Byron?
Nothing.
Thanks, Bill. I wanted to mention StoryCorps. They are looking for, they are having a Military Voices initiative. And I will send out information as I receive it. They will be doing some live recording of stories. So I would encourage you to participate if you can. Every story told gets recorded with the Library of Congress. So I think that's really cool. It's called StoryCorps. So we'll share more information about that. Memorial Day at East Lawn Palms Cemetery and South Lawn Cemetery, 9 a.m. May 27th, we will be placing flags throughout the cemetery on the 25th. So if anybody wants to volunteer for that, we'd appreciate the assistance. And then on the 27th, we pick those flags back up. So that's always so much fun. And the Tucson Detachment Marine Corps League is having their 6th annual golf tournament June 15th. It's benefiting the detachment as well as a community benefactor. Andres Felix and his son were hit in a high-speed car accident, and Mr. Felix is still receiving treatments, and so he's not able to work. So his wife is the sole breadwinner with, I think they have several children, and So anything you can do to help out with that would be great. June 15th, you can visit the website, mcltd007.com. As I just want to remind everybody, as we go dark, you have things that you want to share, be sure to send them to Amari so that she can send them out to the committee. And that'll be a good way to stay in touch through that disconnect that we have. As far as future agenda items, the Veterans Day Parade would be great to keep on there as a permanent. And I was trying to find the rest of the list. What other items did we have on there?
Well, when do you want to bring back also, like the four chaplains? Would be September be too soon, or do you want September?
No, September. September would be fine. We can start talking about it then, four chaplains.
Okay. We can bring that one back on then in September. Any others? And just a quick plug on Terry talking about the StoryCorps. So for any of our women vets, when you tell your story and it goes to the Library of Congress, any women vet stories, they have an agreement with the Library of Congress. Your story will automatically go to the Military Women's Memorial. Okay. So it doesn't matter if it's through StoryCorps, Veterans Heritage Project, or any of these other ones out there. Library of Congress will automatically send women vet stories over to the Women's Military Memorial, just so y'all know. So, all right, we'll continue. Sorry about that.
And I'm done. Bruce Hayes?
Nothing to add, thank you.
And Hollis?
Yes, I'd like to say that the Military Officers Association of America, our luncheon in May will be our last until September, and our guest speaker will be Richard Fimbres from the City Council. So we'll make a direct connection, hopefully, that way. That's it.
Rosie?
Okay, so for me, I'm actually working on a Living Legend proclamation for one of our Korean War veterans. So any other women vets that you want to honor, they don't have to be up in age or anything, just any women vets. They obviously, for the Living Legend proclamation, still have to be alive. We did have it happen where one of our Korean War vets actually passed away before we were able to finalize their letter. And then we went and ended up in turning it into a memorial letter, so we were able to read it at their memorial service. So either way, we can get them squared away. Okay. What else? Working possibly with the Gold Star families, with Raytheon, we reached out to Lorraine to see if maybe she would be available. So that's one of the options. So don't forget also Memorial Day to honor our Gold Star families. Cause in the same time when you're honoring them, you're also honoring our fallen too. So, that's it for me.
Henry Johnson, may I step in there? I think I missed after Ann.
Oh, I'm sorry. I did skip you.
I know I shouldn't have insulted you before everybody else got on. Scottish American Military Society is looking forward to placing wreaths in Sierra Vista at both the Veterans Cemetery and the local cemetery. We're doing East Lawn, South Lawn, Evergreen, and we should have a representative at the Veterans Memorial Park here. So we're looking forward. We're going to be busy over the summer with a bunch of parades we've been asked to do. If anybody's down around Palomas, July the 4th, you can watch us march with our 14 guys with knobby knees. Then for the future agenda, like to get Margo to come back and give us something on the blue envelope or more information on that. And that's pretty much it for me.
Margo is staying on the committee reports, so she will be able to give updates periodically.
She's an official committee report now, Henry. So sorry if I didn't clarify that earlier. She's now an official committee report.
Wow, well, I thought
you will
I
not be taken off special. Unless you guys vote to take her off.
Okay, so there's more special people than me.
James Lewis Tooby?
Yes, I hope everyone is safe and take care. Just share that the state is going to be taking on a big initiative. We're trying to engage with all 22 of the Native American tribes. I look forward to speaking to you about that. That's one of our underserved communities. So that population is something we're going to be focusing on. So more to follow on that. I would also like to get your phone number, Tom, so I can call you, man.
Terry sent me your number. I will send you a text message after this, and we will chat.
Wonderful. That's all I have.
Melvin Morgan?
Nothing else.
Lorraine Obregon?
Yes, thank you. First of all, I want to thank everyone, especially Boulder Crest. It's a great program. I wish I could get that into every post-acute facility, that especially behavioral health facilities, because we have a lot of crisis right now. I really like that blue envelope because we get a lot of AMRs, veterans, and we're going to be opening up a behavioral health unit with some of them will be court ordered, so that'll be good to know, because sometimes they come in, they don't quite tell you. We find out later that they're veterans. We do have a contract with the VA. But aside from that, December is Wreaths Across America. My son is a fallen soldier buried at Holy Hope, so I'm planning on being there. Last year I had COVID. It was terrible. December 14th, 2024. I know we're going to go dark all summer, but still remember that. July 4th is really a tough day for me because that's my son's death anniversary. And, So just keep pressing forward, put one foot in front of the other and help veterans. And let's market this in a way where everybody, and it sounds terrible for me to say market because that's not really how we should look at it, but really is, because within our own community, it's grown so much that we need to reach the aging population, especially those that have not received services in a long time, because they're struggling. A lot of times they're like, well, they think it's dementia. They're not sure it's Alzheimer's. You know, they have vascular dementia, or, you know, it's just aging brain, a lot of gray matter, all of that stuff. And a lot of them still do not know that they have benefits, that are available to them. So yeah, that's the main thing, is stay, focused, and hopefully everyone turns out for Wreaths Across America. Because those are all our fallen. And I know Memorial Day is around the corner. So hopefully we can unite as a community, and everyone be safe. God bless. And thank you all for your service.
And to kind of piggyback with Lorraine, and I'm sure Tubby has heard about this and everything, one of the big things that's been coming out, like from the Veterans Caucus and everything, is claim sharks and how to wrangle that whole situation, and where they're trying to exploit our veterans and their benefits and everything. So that's one thing I'm so glad that they're working on, to make sure that they don't abuse those benefits for them. So
yes, and speaking of that, there's actually a bill that we're working on to protect their identity. There's a lot of fraud going on with that. And so there's also, I think there's some type, I was looking through all of my Dave work that I've done, and that's one of the things. It's a fraud bill with identity theft, and has to do with claims and benefits. So that's really good. It still is pending. It hasn't passed yet. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we get that done so we can protect our veterans.
Tom Tunks?
Yes, on the golf thing, I assist in a youth group. It's a Marine Corps youth group here in Tucson. It's called the Tucson Devil Pups. I'm not sure if anybody's heard of it, or maybe you have. We have a golf tournament coming up June 1st. You can find it online, TucsonDevilPups.org. It's all ran by Marine veterans and TPD veterans, actually. I have Valerie Berg, Scott Larnigan. I have U of A PD retiree David Caviero. Yeah. And we have a golf tournament to raise some funds for some kids to send them to camp. It's on June 1st. You can find it on our website. If you play golf, if you don't, if you know somebody, that would be awesome. It helps out these kids, and we're not a recruiting thing, but I'd say about 60% of our kids do join the military and the police department, actually. So, yeah, if you guys know anybody that golfs, let them know. I appreciate it, and I hope everybody has a good summer. Stay cool.
Alicia Fuller.
I've got nothing. Just be safe and give yourself grace. That's it.
And that is everyone.
Amari, can I just say something really quick, Chair, may I? It's Lorraine. So the bill is H.R. 6452. It's the Veterans Scam and Fraud in Act. So it's been established, but we haven't quite processed or actually hasn't gone into effect because we're still waiting for additional votes on it. It does have to do with about 74,000 military veterans and retirees. And those are the reported fraud cases and identity theft. So they've lost about $350 million. So this is good to know. So if you do go on the website, please get involved and vote for it. Write to your senators, and let's get this through. Thank you.
Amari Martin Belden. For future agenda items, we need to put Operation Exodus back on the agenda.
Good one there.
Because it will be happening not long after we go back live.
That's in the September agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Any alibis, finals? Okay. Edry, can you wrap us up with a benediction, please?
Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us pass this information and giving us more information to spread to our brethren and sisters of arms. In thy holy name, watch over us as we go our separate ways this summer and enjoy.
Did we lose him?
I think we did.
Bruce, are you also a chaplain? Can you wrap us up, finish it up?
Yes. Thank you, Father, for this time together. We place a hedge of protection around everybody while we're on our summer hiatus. And we ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in everything that we deal with each and every day. And we thank you for all the blessings that you provide us with. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Bruce, for stepping in. So this adjourns our meeting, 7:36. Thank you so much, everyone. And still keep in touch. Amari will help.